Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Sick Call with Pastor William H. Smith.
Yes, let me say good day to everyone. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing because God has allowed us to be yet alive in a day that we've never seen before, this April the 6th, 2024. And, of course, Sick Call is a ministry of the Power Chapel Memorial Center, located at 119 Power Chapel Road here in Pulaski, Tennessee, and is hosted Monday through Saturday at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time by Sister Darlene J. Clark, and she's the author of the book titled Shattered Innocence, along with yours truly, retired Pastor William Howard Smith. You're welcome to call in your prayer request using the phone number 565-999-3639.
The number is 563-999-3629.
Okay, I can't read my writing. Thank you. Okay, the number to call in your prayer request is 563-999-3639. Again, the number is 563.
You said it wrong again. I'm sorry. Okay, it is 563-999-3629.
Oh, I see.
Yes, sir.
The bottom, what I got down. Okay. So the call-in number, 563-999-3629.
Yes, sir.
Did I get it? All right. And let's begin with an opening prayer followed by a reading from God's inspired word. And the word will come from Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 12. And may we pray. Oh, God, our Heavenly Father, we call upon you personally to say thank you for giving us this day. And, Lord, you've invited us to come boldly into your throne of grace. We thank you for this gracious and glorious privilege. We come now with hearts of gratitude to offer our gifts to you. Use them to extend your kingdom in the hearts of people everywhere. Grant that we may be faithful in every area of life, that through our lives as well as our gifts, people will come to know Jesus. Pray in his name. Amen. And the New Testament book of Acts, and chapter 1, verses 6 through 12, we find these words. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 12. Go to a courtroom. Oh, I'm sorry. I picked up the wrong cheat sheet. I printed it off as opposed to dealing with technology, and I'd be better to just... There we go, Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 12. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? Thus is the reading. The Lord bless you, the reader and hear of his most holy word. And Sister Darlene, if you will make us aware of any items that need to be attended to in our petitions, our prayer to God, please, ma'am, inform us.
Okay, I'll say mine, and then I'll let you say yours. Okay, there's William Pennington, that's a friend that's in a nursing home. And I have a friend who fractured her back. She works at a nursing home, and she fractured her back and trying to lift up. So prayers for her speedy recovery. Got another friend that's looking for work, and he lives in Connecticut, so prayers for him. Another friend named Michael asked for prayers. Another friend named Ken asked for prayers. Mary Clark has terminal cancer. Her son requested prayers for him and her. And Mike and his mom needs prayer. His mom has stage 4 cancer. And then Shirley's father is in the hospital, needed prayers as well. And I have a friend named Angela that is sick and in pain.
All righty. And, of course, we want to remember Brother Flicken over in West Tennessee that experienced burns over 70% of his body. The young lady who was bitten by a brown recluse spider who is still hospitalized. The father of three grown children who has been placed in hospice. And the students in all of our educational facilities, that they may be protected because they are mean folk in all areas, and for whatever reason they choose to do evil instead of good. Give traveling mercy to those who are en route to or from healthcare facilities. And we just thank you for the opportunity to, just almost 7 days ago, we, many of us, observed what we call Resurrection Sunday. If you have any other prayer requests, give us a call. Okay. And I'll see if I can get the number correct this time. It'd be 563-999-3629. Again, our calling number is 563-999-3629. And we ask.
Okay.
Go ahead, Sister Darlene.
We need to remember Noah Young as well.
That's correct. Who underwent a procedure, I believe, on yesterday. And
Brother Hargrove as well, was he the one you were talking about in hospice, or was that somebody else?
Yes. No, there was Brother Hargrove, yes.
Okay, and you said victims of the bridge disaster, the tornado victims, and now the earthquakes that's going on everywhere. We need to pray for our country.
That's true. That occurred in New York and I think a few other areas, and they still have some tremors occurring today. There have been cracks in streets and roads, and buildings have been affected, and surely that includes foundations. So we're living in a time where anything can take place. So maybe pray. Excuse me. Oh, God, I help me, Father, call upon thee. If there ever was a time that we need your intervention, it's now. Lord, we lift up you, those persons that are the recipients of health concerns, and we pray, oh God, that you will grant your healing power not only for them, but give strength and patience to their loved ones. We ask, oh God, that you would be with the persons and the residents of Kentucky, Indiana, and other areas that have been affected by elements of nature, and we call upon you because there are those who have been affected by earth and tremors, and you are able to bring stabilization, not just to your earth, but likewise to our lives. We're a few days away from what's called the eclipse, and schools in some areas will not be in session. But Lord, we thank you that you're one who's always there, never takes a vacation, never slumbers, nor sleeps, and we can place our absolute trust in you. Those persons who have experienced broken bones and because of injuries and their falling, we ask, oh God, that you would ease their aches and cause them to experience healing power that they may give you the glory. To those of our loved ones who have been placed in hospice, Lord, we ask that you would enable them to continue to experience peace and have the joy of knowing that they know you and you know them. And we pray, oh God, that you would be with the folk in the Brooklyn area. Still, lives and jobs are at stake because of the occurrence that destroyed that means of transport. Give safety to those who are trying as best they know how to use their talents and their skills and the equipment to remove the damage. Give them protection, and Lord, give us patience. Let us not worry or fret, because we know that we serve the God who has not failed us yet. Now, this is our petition. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Excuse me.
And, I wonder if you could add this to your list, too. There's so many missing people, and also pray for the families who had missing and murdered family members to get answers and justice for them, for their loved ones.
Right. All righty. And, if you'd be so kind, I just had the notation here to pick on you again to share the key items that stand out to you that were in your book that you authored titled Shattered Innocence, because we as children had dreams and we worked towards reaching goals, and difficulties arise when we least expect it. And it can shadow our hopes, our aspirations, our dreams. And even though we haven't done anything to anybody, we feel like that we're like a mirror that has been broken and shattered. And we wonder how the pieces can be put back together again. Sister Darlene?
Yes, that one of the incidences is when I was in trouble for using my left hand, and my stepmom, she was so infuriated at me because she said women aren't supposed to be left-handed. And she ended up threatening me, and she jabbed a fork. She picked up the fork from my right hand and then jabbed it me inside my mouth and everything, and was reprimanding me and threatening me about doing that. And so I know that even though I was initially supposed to be left-handed and end up right-handed mostly now, that God's not a discerner like that. God made us so we can be left-handed, we can be right-handed. You know, so many people think it's made an older time. They said that means you were demonic or something if you were left-handed. They said that was a wiles of the devil, which that's untrue. People in their faults, because they don't say anything like that in the Bible, you know. And I want to reiterate also, I'm a twin, and one thing I really hated in being a twin is the comparisons, like the smarter twin, the prettier twin, the, you know, the studio twin, all that kind of stuff. Well, the thing is, even though I might have been noted as a prettier twin and smarter twin, I still didn't like it. I did not think that it was fair to my twin sister to hear that kind of stuff. I didn't think it's fair for me to be called a fatter twin. My sister was like a bean pole, you know. The regular clothes cannot fit her. But the thing is, we need to appreciate our kids and treat them with the gentleness and the individuality that they are. We don't need to compare everybody. Instead, we need to accept people and stop trying to shame people for different reasons out there. And I am glad to say whenever I became a Christian and went forward, but I made the mistake of telling my twin sister first that she wanted to keep everything as twins, you know, together. And instead, she went forward when I was about to go forward during the interpretation call. So I didn't go ahead and go forward because I knew people would perceive me as that. So after she got baptized and the services were over, I went to the van and cried. And the pastor... But talked to Dad. They all stayed inside, and I didn't understand why they all stayed inside. Then my dad was sent back out to get me and said that they understood that I was the one that wanted to go forward, that she only did it because I was going to get baptized. But the fact is, I was stirring my heart. I wanted to get baptized. But, you know, that made a lot of – that made me so happy to know that people knew that I was going in there and trying to go up for the right reason of receiving Christ into my life and becoming a Christian. So that story is kind of heartwarming to me on the impact, how they band together. And this was a good instance of my daddy being good at this per se point at this particular period, but not, you know, at home is a different story, okay? But at church, it was a different, you know, where he actually walked arm in arm like a loving father, like I would imagine God walking arm in arm with us in heaven.
Yes, ma'am. And let me share this with you. I got some feedback this morning, and I sent the link to some people, and they were impacted by yesterday's broadcast. And so we want to welcome our listeners to give us a call at 563-999-3629. Again, you can call in at 563-999-3629. And let me point your attention to one verse of Scripture, Acts chapter 1. And I believe it's verse 8, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And we find these words. There we go. Small print, but I'll make it. I see. There we go. 10, 9. So let me go with one more. I see 7. There we go. No wonder. Verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And for meditation, what must I do, or what must we do until Jesus returns? What must I do? Or what must we be doing until Jesus returns? Verse 8 points out that we are to be witnesses. Witnesses. So witness must know something. If you ever been to court, you're sworn in to testify, not give your opinion, but as on Drag Night, Joel Friday and his partner Bill would say, just the facts, man, just the facts. And if you try to testify to any other thing, the defense will object to the judge, and the judge will bring you back up on course by saying the objection is abstained, not overruled, but abstained. Now, the first qualification for witness of Jesus Christ, he or she must know something. So anytime we pray to God and anytime we know that God has answered our prayers, we need to be like the Apostle Paul. He said, I know whom I have believed. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. A great Christian of another generation was asked about his 86th birthday, how he felt towards the next life. In other words, what do you think that will take place after you have ceased laboring in this vineyard? And his response was, I'm not half as sure what the future will be, but for 46 years, I know that I was sure that God walked with me, talked with me, and he led me. And now, because of my relationship, I've grown older, and I am confident that the mercy of God and by his grace, that I have the assurance that I will be in my Father's house. I don't have to worry about whether or not there will be room enough, because his word said there are many rooms. So he knew about his Father, and he knew about the Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, another thing about a witness, not only must a witness know something, a witness must be able to say something. To know about Jesus and fail to tell others is criminal. What if somebody I knew the remedy for cancer, they had that knowledge? It would be a crime not to share. It is a crime for us, a great tragedy, when we who are saved by God's grace, we simply are inhibited to testify to what we know by means of our experience. Our failure to ask someone if he or she would like to become a Christian may be the only reason that person does not become saved, all because we are reluctant. But aren't you glad that at some point in your life, somebody nudged you, somebody shared with you, and the Holy Spirit tugged at your heart, and you gained the confidence that I'm not going to be ashamed to ask, what must I do to be saved? Another thing that a witness must do, and we should be doing up until Jesus returns, is we must be something. We must be something. We must be more than a couch potato. We must be more than a procrastinator. We must be more than being a busybody. We must be more than an individual that finds more things to do that keeps us from being a light. Let our light so shine before others that they may see godliness in us, and that we are content his old song that says, I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus. You can't make me doubt him because I know too much about him. I may not be an orator. I may not be a great soloist, but I can let my little light shine everywhere I go. People need to see in us. They need to be able to see from us that we have a surety, a walk with God, a calmness, a life that exemplifies that we're in possession of the great life. I know that we have been Christians not because we have a cross around our neck, but we have had that inner workings that compelled us to start doing right instead of doing wrong, to start telling the truth instead of being a liar, to become sober when we used to be drunkard, when we used to be a person that would get high on things that will only allow us to be high for 15 minutes. But we have a newness of life brought on by our hearing of the Word of God and our putting in practice our belief that if we walk in the Spirit and not of the flesh, that we will be changed, changed from a person who did not believe, but we can say all of my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. We dare not trust the sweetest flame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. It's on Christ, the solid rock, that we can stand, and all other ground is nothing more than sinking sand. Terrible question, share with us, 563-999-3629. And Sister Darlene, I'm going to turn it back to you, and you can give us the final comments and instructions.
All right. I want to thank everybody for coming, and thank you for Pastor William H. Smith for the sick call and the inspirational messages that you have bestowed upon us. Please come back again Monday at the same time, and then Monday night at 6 Eastern. And again, the lesson that Brother Smith had given me, and tune in for that.
All right, and God bless you. We never pass this way again. You just remember this time, how good it has been. And never forget that God is so wonderful, and prayer is a useful tool. Somebody prayed for me. Somebody prayed for Sister Darlene. And they had us on their mind, and they took the time to pray for us. God bless.
Thank you. God bless y'all. Thank you so much.